Good morning, everyone. Our day's daf is Chaf Gimel in Tanis. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be run with recognition of Flores of Benzolkin. There are two dafim in Tanis that are dedicated to Choni Hamago. One was the Mishnah, which we already went through. The Mishnah goes all the way back to daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah told the story of Choni Hamago, and the other daf is Chaf Gimel, where we're going to repeat the story of Choni Hamago with much richer detail. So over the course of today, we're going to see the story of Choni Hamago repeated, but with some exceptional detail. We are a little bit behind. We're on Chav Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots on the Amud. So before we get to the Gemaras and the beginning of the story of Choni Hamago again, but we just have a little bit to catch up on. Ma'aseh v'yarda zaken v'yishalem la'areihem. Okay, we are back in the Gemara on right in the middle of Chav Gimel, I'm sorry, Chav Beis Amud Beis, short lines, four lines before they get wide. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, there was an incident. So Yibayilu Kamale Pi Tanur Tavua O Dilma Kamale Tanur Pas. Okay, remember back in the Mishnah told us that there are things that we need to immediately react to, and we cannot wait, and there's no lag in our reaction. We need to react quickly. And so one of the things that were mentioned in the Mishnah is we talked about Dever. Right, Shidafon Yerakon Arbe Chasil. Okay. Sorry for the delay. If there is enough of a shidafon, enough of a blast, where it affects an oven full of wheat, so the Mishnah says that that's something that we need to fast over. Okay, I was just trying to find the Mishnah. It speaks about it. Okay, anyway, go back to our Gemara. So the Gemara has a question. Yibailu kamale pi tanur tavua, o dilma kamale tanur pas. So is it the amount of a oven full of actual wheat, or is it an oven full of bread? And the difference, of course, is that if we were just to stuff wheat into the oven, so that obviously would be a lot more wheat than taking actual bread and putting it into the oven, because bread is a combination of wheat and water. And on top of that, also, when you put bread into the oven, you don't fill the oven with bread. You place pieces of dough in the oven, but obviously you also need air to go in there as well. So Tashma Kamala Pitanur Vadain Gemara says Kamala Pitanur. Okay, the amount of the oven being filled. And Rashi understands this to mean that we're talking about bread, the amount of bread in the oven. So Vadain ki bailaf ki kisu de tanura dumma ki dara derifta, da hadale la pumi de tanura. The Gemara has a further question. Okay, so it's bread in the oven. Are we talking about just around the ridge of the oven, the ridge of the opening, or maybe rows of bread as well? The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. A wolf ate a pair of children in Aver HaYarden, and the Gemara says, and that was cause for fasting and blowing shofar. The Gemara calls a braisam. The Brayis, of course, Rabbi Shimon ben Yosada, that described this calamity with more detail. The wolves ate the two children, and basically the bodies went through the entire digestive tract of the children, and they came out the other end. Now, basically, you have a question of Tuma Tahara, meaning, again, tragedy aside, emotions aside, the Gemara just deals with a halachic issue of Tumas Meis, meaning you have human remains. So the Gemara says that as far as the basar is concerned, as far as the flesh is concerned, that's considered as if it is digested, and therefore no longer has status anymore. and therefore the basar is not subject to tumas meis. It's nis akel, it's considered digested. But when it comes to the atramas, when it comes to the bones, so they still give off tuma. And what's the difference between bones and flesh? So we've discussed this many times, but just quickly to review. When it comes to bones, bones give off tumas maga or masa. The bones transmit tuma either by touching or by carrying the bones. But when it comes to flesh, when it comes to the human remains, so that gives off tumas ohel. So that's a big difference between the two. And so the Chachamim said that the bones still have the status of bones, but not the flesh. Alayla Masrim B'Shabbos Tan Rabban and Yirshi Kippur Nachrim On Arba Ve'Echad Sfina Mitzarefes B'Yam Ve'Echad Yachid Shinirdaf Mnei Nachrim Mnei Listim Mnei Ruach Ra Akulon Yachid Rashar L'Sageif Es Atzmo B'Tanis. The Gemara over here says that for a disaster, and we go through the list as mentioned back in the Mishnah. A city was surrounded by non-Jews, or the river looks to overflow, or the boat is shaking in the ocean, or an individual is being chafed by non-Jews, or from robbers, or possessed by an evil spirit. So an individual can accept upon himself a theft. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ina Yachid Rishalas Agefis Asma Betanis, Shemi Sarach Libriyos. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, an individual cannot accept upon himself a theft. If the community declares a Tanit Tzibor, that's fine. But individuals cannot make the executive decision of fasting on their own. The Ein Abiyos Merachmas Aleham. And Rav Yossi says, and I'll tell you why. Because an individual fasting means that he's going to become weak. Weak means he won't be able to work. Work means that a lack of work means that he won't be able to be self-sufficient. And therefore, he's going to be, he's going to become a burden on society. And Rav Yossi says, don't allow that to happen to yourself. And therefore, you cannot accept upon yourself a fast. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Maitama, Rav Yossi, Yechsiv, V'yadam L'nefesh Chayah. Pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis says that a person will be L'nefesh Chayah, and the drasha is, Neshama Shenasati Bach, that Neshama that I gave you, Heche Yeh. Your obligation is to sustain it, to make it strong. So in other words, you got to keep yourself fit. That's an obligation in the Torah. And as a result of that, you cannot make executive decisions on your own that you're going to fast. Okay, so basically what we saw now in the Brice is that if there's not a Tanit Tzibor, if it's not a communal fast, so can individuals take upon themselves a fast? Machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi, and the issue basically is, will you turn into a burden on society? Rav Yossi says, if you will, so then you shouldn't fast. Tosfos points out, okay, in other words, but, all right. Yeah, correct. Agreed. Understood. And there are going to be examples. This is a more general issue. Tosfos points out over here that this debate does not coordinate with the debate that we saw back in Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara back in Daf Yud Aleph brought down the basic, a fundamental machlokus of whether or not we should live ascetic lives. So we had a machlokus between the Tanaim, between the Amoraim, and as I pointed out back then, amongst the Rishonim as well, is it proper to live an ascetic life where you withhold the pleasures of this world from yourself? So that was a machlokas, a major machlokas. And the question was, remember, whether the Nazir is considered a sinner or the Nazir is not considered a sinner, because the Nazir took upon himself that he's not drinking wine. And so is that something which the Torah endorses, or is that something which the Torah just simply permits? And we had a machlokas back then. So Tosha says, don't make the mistake. The machlokas back then does not relate to this machlokas over here. Why? Because Tosha says, because previously what the Gemara was referring to is somebody who lives an ascetic life and can live an ascetic life, meaning has that they can handle not drinking wine or not eating on occasion. So for the person who can handle it, so the Gemara says that's one issue. Is that a value or is that not a value? Good. So that's the Gemara back on Daf Yud Aleph. That's a machlokas. Our machlokas over here is we're talking about the person who can't handle it, meaning the person who is going to fast, and as a result of that, will become weaker. Is that sanctioned? That, Tosha says, is a debate here between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi says, no, there's no sanction for that whatsoever. There's no promotion of putting yourself in a situation where you will become weaker, and therefore you will become a burden to society. That's not the same issue as the issue, as we discussed back on Daf Yud Aleph, of whether there's a value for leading an ascetic life. Shimon HaTimni Omer Af Al HaDever. Shimon HaTimni says that for Dever, if there's a plague, so you're going to fast. Now remember, the issue was, can we engage in fasting and crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos? So Shimon HaTimni says yes, and the Chachamim say no. Tashma d'tanya masrin al adever b'shabbos v'insarach lomer b'chol. The Gemara over here quotes a brisa. The brisa says that we can cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos and during the week. And Rabbi Hanan ben Pitom, Tamidah shel Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Hanan ben Pitom, who was a student of Rabbi Akiva, which is interesting. I don't remember having heard his name earlier in the Gemara, but fine. Who was a student of Rabbi Akiva says, we don't cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu over the plague, not on Shabbos, not during the week as well. And Rashi over here, it's an interesting Rashi, it's really short. Rashi over here says, why don't we cry out during the week? Gzera, right, let me read the Rashi inside. Rashi says, Afilu b'chol, d'gzerahi. So Rashi says, we don't cry during the week because of Gzera. What's Gzera? Because if we cry out during the week, we'll end up crying out on Shabbos as well, and we're not allowed to cry out on Shabbos. So that's interesting, meaning... Yeah, correct. Right. It's interesting that 6 days of the week are going to be prohibited from crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu because of the one day of Shabbos, and there's a gzera, and it's hard to understand that the basis for such a gzera, but okay, that's how Rashi understands the position of Rav Hanan ben Pitom. So fine, but basically the Gemara's question was, when the Chachamim say to Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, we don't cry on Shabbos, is that limited to Shabbos? Does that include the whole week? Well, at least we have a Tanna. We just saw a Tanna who says it applies to the whole week as well as it relates to Dever, as it relates to crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu over a plate. Okay. Al-Kol Tzara Shi Tavola Tzibur Chul Tanna Rabbanu Kol Tzara Shal Tavola Tzibur Masrin Alech Chutz Merov Gishamim. Okay, any calamity is to be, we are going to try our best to avert. We are going to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu not to bring calamity upon us. And the only quote-unquote calamity which we cannot ask Hashem to stop is too much rain. Okay, now, in other words, and too much rain is not good, right? Flooding is not good, but we do not complain about too much rain, even if it's too much. So my time, I'm Rav Yochanan Fishay Masala, I'm Rav Atova, because we do not ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you see that the rain is good, or you know what, that's too much good. As a rule, we don't ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to stop good, even if it's too much. Now I'm Rav Yochanan Fishay Masala, I'm Rav Atova Shenema. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that this is so? So the Gemara says, remember what we did back in Daf Tes in the Gemara Tanis, so that means 2 weeks ago. So the Gemara in Daf Tes says, "Avios kol maaser al beis haotzer." We quoted the pasuk in Malachi. Do you remember we had the discussion back in the Gemara back on Daf Tes? It was Rav Yochanan, it was his nephew, and the question was, "Can we ever test the Kadosh Baruch Hu?" It's not a question. The answer is no. Right? Lo sanasu es Hashem. We are forbidden from testing Hashem. Meaning Hashem, how about this? Right? We don't make deals. Right? I'll do the mitzvah, and in response to that, you help me out this week, I need a little bit of extra money. Okay, we don't do that. With one notable exception, and that's the mitzvah of tzedakah. The mitzvah of tzedakah, we're allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know that? So we quote the pasuk in Malachi. The pasuk in Malachi says, the chanunin abezos. With this you can test me, and that is that when you bring in the produce into your house and you give ma'aser to the aniyim, so you can say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to give this ma'aser, and this is what I would like in exchange. Okay, so the mitzvah of tzedakah is one of the exception to the rule, and we're allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And to remember, we quote the entire pasuk in Malachi, and the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara here doesn't even quote the entire pasuk. Go back to Daf Tes, or even better yet, go to Sefer Malachi to see the entire pasuk. But anyway, the pasuk says Ad Beli Dai, and my Ad Beli Dai, and the Gemara says, and if you do this, you're going to keep getting bracha and bracha Ad Beli Dai with no end. And what does that mean with no end? Amrami Barav Yud. Rami Bar Rav Yud. Rashi says that was his name. That was his father's name. His name was Yud. So Ad She Yivlu Sif So Sechem Milomar Dai, where your lips are going to be worn down by saying enough, enough, enough. Meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mashpia. He's going to give so much bracha to you that you're going to say enough, and your lips are just going to wear out from saying enough. In the meantime, however, what do you see? You see that as a general rule, that you don't ask, right? In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bestow bracha upon us, and we don't ask it to stop. Even though the Pasuk of Malachi, you know, the person is saying die, but the Gemara says as a rule, should not ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to stop the bracha. Amar Rami Bar Rav Yud, as long as we quote him once, the Gemara quotes him again. Uvagol Masrin Aleha. Now, even though we just said as a rule, you don't ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to stop it to rain, meaning once the faucet is on, right, and it's staying on, we don't ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to stop. However, exception to that rule, and that is in Bavel. In Bavel, we are allowed to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to ask the rain to stop. Telling them, actually, the Gemara quotes a brisa as well. Shana shidishma meruba anshe mishmashluchem anshe mamad. Tenuei nechem v'acheichem shebegola. Shelo yebatehem kivrehem. When you, the anshe mishma and the anshe mamad, are praying on behalf of the Jewish people, have in mind our Jewish brothers and sisters living out in the diaspora, out in Bavel, not too much rain. Why not? Because otherwise their houses will turn into their graves. In Rashi explains, in Bavel, already the ground is very saturated, very high water table in Bavel, and so therefore if it's too much rain, so not only is there going to be flooding, but basically the houses are going to submerge right into the ground. So in Bavel, you have to ask for it to stop, because otherwise you're talking about serious risk in Bavel. They ask Rabbi Eliezer the question, is raining in Eretz Yisrael? At what point do we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for it to stop? Amar Lahem, so his answer is, and there's going to be a little bit of sarcasm in this answer, when you're Keren Ophel, now geographically I do not know where it is, but it's a high point in Israel. If you're standing on Keren Ophel, and you're basically, and your feet are in the water, at that point in time, you ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu to stop. That's a little bit sarcastic. Basically, there's never a point. There never becomes a point when we're going to ask Hashem for it to stop raining in Eretz Yisrael. It's not the rain's never going to get to that point where you're standing on this Keren Ophel and your water's going to be and your feet are going to be in the water. V'atanya Yadav. Now the Gemara here quotes it's a technical point. We have a brisa, another brisa. And instead of saying your feet are in the water, it says your hands are in the water. Reglav ki yadav tamina. Okay, hands, feet, whatever. Meaning, not a fundamental answer. Basically, your feet are in the water. You bend over, your hands are in the water. Basically, it's not going to happen. The water's not going to get that high. So so basically, like we said earlier in Eretz Yisrael, we do not ask it to stop raining in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, I'll just give you a sense of how high up Keren Ophel is. I saw a merchant who was riding on an Arab merchant riding on a camel, holding a spear in his hand, and because he was on Keren Ophel and I was looking, it was so far up, so high up, that he looked like a little worm. Meaning it's so high up. And again, the Gemara's point is basically, it's never going to rain to the point where you're going to be experiencing any type of flooding and Keren Ophel. That idea, it's not coming up explicitly in the Gemara later on, but keep that idea in mind as we go on to today's talk. Tan Rabbanan, we learned from the Brisa, V'nasa Tegishmechem B'itam. The Pasuk says, I will give you rain in its proper time. Lo shekor v'lo tzemeh alabenonis. You won't be a sheiker, you won't be a drunk, and you won't be starving or thirsty. But rather benonis, shekos ma shekosham emrubim, mitasha shenes arat, meaning if there's too much rain, the ground becomes muddy. And ve'enem osia peros, and it's just not good for the fruit. Davar acher b'itam, so pshat number one in b'itam means the right amount. And we're going to give a second shot in the word b'itam, which is at the right time. It's going to rain at the right time. V'leila riviyot v'leila shabbosos. Tuesday and Friday nights. Okay, Tuesday nights and Friday nights. Now, Friday nights, we understand Friday nights, everyone's home, and no one's going out, and okay, you're home. So Friday night's a great night for it to rain. Okay. Tuesday nights? Why is Tuesday night such a remarkable night for rain? So they take a look at the first Rashi on the Amud. So Rashi says, if some zoo below the reveals, below the Shabbos, the Intorach with Ne'adam, in him hokum with Drachim below the reveals, Mimne Igras Bas Machlas Vitzachim. So Rashi says, you got to remember the Gemara we learned back in Pesachim, in the 10th Perek, where the Gemara there says that there's a certain demon that went out on Tuesday nights. Don't ask me for better explanations, but there was a demon that went out on Tuesday nights, and so therefore Tuesday nights everyone stayed home. Okay, so nobody went out on Tuesday nights, and nobody went out on Friday nights. Friday night's a different issue. Friday night, Shabbos, no one's going anywhere. Okay, so the Shekem Martina B'Yemeshima Meshetach, and the Gemara points out that you want to know when this happened, like clockwork, where it rained Tuesday nights and Friday nights during the years of Shemem Meshetach. Sheyardulam Gishamim. And it rained during the years of Shema Meshetach. Shema Meshetach, you remember, Pirkei Avos, he's one of the Zugos. Okay, so he lived towards the earlier years of Bais Sheni. Wheat was as big as kidneys. And so Aron Kigarine Zasim, the kernels of barley were the size of the pits of an olive. V'adashim k'dinari zahav. The lentils were as big as gold coins. V'tsaru mehem dugma l'doros. And they made a museum. And they put them in a museum. I'm being a little facetious, not much. But basically, they wanted to show future generations, here's what it looks like. Here's what it can look like. L'odia kama hachit goren. And do you want to know why your wheat is and your barley and your lentils are not the same size? Chet Gorim, because it's going to be rebuked, right? This is what it could be if the Jewish people are following the Torah. If they're not following the Torah, so therefore your wheat doesn't look like the wheat of the years of Shemim Meshetach. So Shenem Avnasem Hitu Eila Vechatasechem Minu Hatov Mikem. Pasuk Yirmiyahu says it's sin that prevents this from happening. And the Gemara says, and we'll go to another historical period in time where also Gishamim were be'itam. During the years of Hordus, okay, so we're talking about Herod and his reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which was not even 100 years before the destruction. So, Hayu Ostim Bevingim Beis HaMikdash, Yordim Gishamim Belaila. So, where they were constructing the Beis HaMikdash, when did it rain? Rained at night. The next day, wind blew, sun came out, and everyone went to work. And that was a divine approbation that they're doing the right thing. It rained only at night, never interfered with the work of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, everyone ready? Here we go. Choni Amazo part 2. It's not really part 2, it's just we're gonna go over the story of Choni Amazo again, and the detail is going to be rich. Okay, just if I can remind everyone, Choni Amazo, the story we saw already once back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah found itself back on Daf Yutes, where the Mishnah basically told the story of it did not rain in Eretz Yisrael. They went to Choni Amazo. Choni Amazo draw a circle and did not step outside the circle until it rained properly. And to which the Chachamim said, that is a very strong and slightly disrespectful way to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Chachamim said, we would like to put you in Chayrim for speaking in such terms, but he answers you, and so therefore if he's answering you, we have no right to put you in Chayrim. That is basically the story of Choni Amazo we saw back in the Mishnah. When did Choni Amazo live? During Bais Sheni. He lived during the Second Temple. And it will be clear in today's daf that he lived around the time of Shemem and Shetach, which we just got done describing. Okay, here we go. The remainder of today's daf is basically stories of Choni Amazo. So we start here. We're on daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're at the two dots. Ma'isa Sheshach LeChoni Amazo V'Chol Etan Rabam Negemar Kotz Braisa. Pamachas Yatzarav Adar V'Lo Yadu Gishamim. The month of Adar now, most of it is gone, and there has been no rain. So that basically means the rain season starts in Mar Cheshvan, and so now we've gone through Cheshvan Kislev, Teves Shvat Adar. So we're 5 months into the rainy season, and there's no rain. Shechel Choni Amagel is followed Yardu B'Shamim. It's followed Yardu B'Shamim. Yardu B'Shamim. So they asked Choni Amagel, please daven for us that it would rain. And he davened, and no rain came. Ag Uga, he drew a circle. V'amad B'Socha, he stood in the circle. Kedek She'asach Havakuk, and Avish Nemer, Amish Marti, and Davi Yisasva, Amad Tzor. The Gemara says that there was historical precedent for doing so. Chavakuk, the Navi from Treasar. So he also imprisoned himself, contained himself in an area, and asked the Kaddish, demanded of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So Choni Amago says, okay, he did it, I'm going to do it. I'm the fun of Rebbeinu Sha'olam Banecha, Simu Panim, Alai, Shanike, Ben Bais Lepanecha. Jewish people turn their eyes to me because they view me as a Ben Bais. I live in your house. Nishma ani b'shimcha agadol sheni zaz mikan ashtarachim abanecha. I will not move from here until you have rachmanis on your children. He's through b'shamim minatzin. The water started dripping down, but just drips. Amar lo tamid rabbi re'inilcha v'lo namus. K'medum emanu she'in k'shamim yodim el alahatir shvasecha. So now comes the editorial. So the people say to Choni Amagel, you know, it's raining, but it's just dripping. And it's only so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can release you from your shvua, because you swore that you're not moving out of the circle until it started raining. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down a couple of drops, just so that you can leave the circle. So Choni Amagel turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, nope, unacceptable. I want the rain that would fill the reservoirs. Yardu b'zaaf. So the rain came down torrential. Ashikol tipa v'tipa kamala tichavis. Every drop was the size of the mouth of a barrel. The Shiur Chachamim Shein Tipa Pchusam Elug. The Chachamim measured the drops, and each drop contained a lug, which is approximately 16 ounces. Amalo Tamid Rebbe Reinecho V'lo Namus. Let us see you, let us and not die. Kimedumim Ani Shein Yushamim Yardim Ela La'Abed Ha'Olam. Now it seems like the rain's coming down to destroy the world. Now here, Ben, we can make the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that this wasn't going to happen again. So, but it's kimedumim anu, right? They're very careful in the way they say it. It looks like the world is going to come to an end based on the size of these drops. Okay. So, I'm a lefan of lokach sha'alti ala gishmei ratzon, bracha unidava. So, once again, Choni Amagel turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, also, this is unacceptable. I want Gishmei, Ratzon, Bracha, Unedava. Right? Good rain is in a nutshell. So, Yadu Kitiknan, Asha Alu Kola Amra Harabayas. Okay, so it rained, as it should. The Jewish people fled to Harabayas. Harabayas is an elevated area in Yerushalayim. Basically, good. Flooding. But, you know, in other words, not controllable flooding, if you will. So, Mibnei Gishamim. Amalah Rabbi Kshem Shizpalta Shiyadu Kach Shizpal V'Yelchulahem. Okay, so now they said, could you please turn off the faucet? Now remember, we just got done learning earlier this morning, meaning you see the Gemara segueing beautifully. We learned earlier this morning that's not something we asked for. We asked for it to rain, we don't ask for it to stop. So listen to his answer. Amalahem Kach Mekubani Shem Shizpal Ma'arav Atova. So Choni Hamagel says, I have a tradition. You do not ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop good, even if it's an abundant good, even if it's what we perceive as to be too much good. We don't ask that to stop. Afapikin hevilo par hoda'a. And now here's where it gets interesting. And don't ask, I don't know the answer. And even though he has a tradition that we don't ask, he asks. Okay. And furthermore, he brings par hoda'a. Par hoda'a. Please take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes par hoda'a. Lihisvados alav. I mean, basically, we're going to sin, we're going to bring a carbon, we're going to do vidui over the carbon, and I'm just reading Rashi. So, the hisvados alav, asalos smicha ve'evu shlamim, so choni bizmana ba'isava, and then Rashi parenthetically points out, choni lived during the Beis Hamikdash, so obviously carbon to be brought. Now, it is interesting, first of all, the largest issue. Okay, that's right. That's a technical issue, which I'm about to point out, but good. Okay, the largest issue is he has a tradition that we don't ask it to stop raining, and he's going to ask to stop raining, and he brings a carbon, knowing that what he's about to do is wrong, and so he brings a carbon, where he's going to do vidui, he's going to confess in the carbon here, we're about to do a sin, please God forgive us. Okay, that's the largest issue, and I don't have a good response to that issue, meaning he knows he shouldn't be doing it, he's going to bring a carbon. You bring a carbon only in a situation where you forget whether what you did was wrong, and you did it, and you bring a carbon. Here, it's really difficult to understand how what they know they're going to do is wrong. It's premeditated, and you're going to bring a carbon, and that usually doesn't work.
Is it for Shabbos too, or is there
anything? Not that I know of. Meaning, again, just going on the little that I know, no.
Hodah means confession here, or thank you?
Well, Hodah, as the Gemara mentions it, with the olive means thank you. Rashi, as Rashi is describing it, is vidui. Okay. And then Ben's point, which is also another basic point, which is that we're talking about a carbon shlamim. And vidui and a carbon shlamim, that doesn't exist either. So the whole thing over here is just, it's difficult. The whole thing is just difficult to understand. But okay, look, I mean, it's my thing. Okay. It's Choni Amado. Thank you. Thank you. It's a perfect description, and it's good. So he viel parodah samach sheyadav alav, so good. So they bring a parodah, and he puts his two hands on it. Rama lefanu ribanu shalamam chayisro shotesim imitzrayim, ena michol lo berov tova v'lo piranias. Look, this nation that you took out of Egypt, right? They can't handle either extreme. Not the rov piranias, not the catastrophe, and not rov tova. And not the overabundance. So, they just can't handle either extreme. You hear it, Samofanecha, Sheyifstiku Gshamim Vihei Revach Ba'olam. So please stop the rain, let there be rest in the world, Miyad Nishba Ruach Minispazur Avim, Vizarcha Chama Viyatu Am, Lissada Be'evilan Kamim Pitrias. And so the rain stops, and the nation goes out to the field, and they collect mushrooms. And mushrooms, and what does that have to do with anything? And Rashi says, and again, I'm quoting Rashi again, I'm heavily reliant on Rashi today, as I always am every day, but Rashi writes that the mushrooms are a sign that the rain will shall bracha. Okay, I don't understand that, but fine. Anyway, but that's how Rashi understands everyone collecting mushrooms. Okay, that is Choni Amago asking for terrain, adjusting the rain because it wasn't good in either way, so he adjusted it to where it was fine. Then the people asked him to stop raining. He said, you know, we shouldn't be doing it. They do it anyway. That's Choni Amago and the basic story of him asking for rain. Shach Shema Meshetach Choni Amago sends Choni Amago the following message, and that is, if you were anybody else, I'd put you in Chayim. I would excommunicate you, but you are Choni Amago, and therefore I will leave you alone. She'ilu shanim tishnei aliyahu shemetzachos kshamim biyado shal aliyahu l'nimtza shem shem shamayim eskal yadecha. Look, Eliyahu HaNavi had held the keys to the reins. Right? Eliyahu HaNavi goes over to Achav and says, look, I'm telling you it's not going to rain. I'm making a shvu it's not going to rain. And he promises that it's not going to rain. And as Rashi points out over here, let's imagine you and Eliyahu lived in the same generation, right? Let's just imagine. He swore there's not going to be rain. You swore there is going to be rain. Well, one of you has to be wrong. And because both of you made a shua, one of you, therefore, is going to be making a shua shav. So, understood. But just, Shimon Meshetach was talking about the danger of making a shua. Where you make a shvua, you don't know it's gonna realize. And then if we can just imagine somebody else makes an opposite shvua, so one of you gonna be violating a shvua shav. Okay, he's just making a point of how dangerous it is that you made a shvua.
Yeah,
I didn't have a good answer, but we asked that question at the beginning of the Masechta. The Gemara says you know, Akash Baruch Hu was in charge of the three kings, and he never lent it out, not even to the Malachim. And back then, I asked the question. I didn't have a good answer. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So, right. Good. 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 I'm sorry. I stopped in the middle of a sentence. I shouldn't have done that. Okay. Let's go back. So Avama says again. Shema Meshachach says basically, I'd like to put you in Chayim. You're like a kid with his father. The kid says to dad, okay, dad, I need a bath. And the chamim, in hot water. And then rinse me out in cold water. Give me nuts. Give me fruit. Okay, and dad does it. Now again, the kid obviously should speak more respectfully to the dad. But okay, if any of us have experience, so you know the kid doesn't always ask the right way. And you give it to the kid because he's your kid. And that's you and the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Shema Meshazach, says to Choni Amado. V'alach yatasavama yismach avicha v'imecha v'tagel yolad etecha. Right, the person who gave birth to you is so happy. Meaning you're like a kid in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You're like a kid to the father. You say whatever, and he complies, meaning Shema Meshazach says, I don't know what to do with you. You speak disrespectfully, but Kaddish Baruch Hu listens, okay. Hedy, you said it beautifully earlier. He's Choni Amado. It's perfect. What was the letter that was sent from the Lishka Sagazis to Choni Amago? Lishka Sagazis made basically the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin sent the following. V'tigzar omer v'yakam lach v'adrachecha noga or v'tigzar omer, we're quoting up Sukkim and Eov, and they're basically sending like a letter of thank you to Choni Amago. And basically, the letter is comprised of Sukkim from Sefer Eov, of course, and basically interpretations of that pasuk as it relates to Choni Amado. Okay? So the Tigzer Omer Ata Gazartam Lamato Kosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Amarecha Melamala. You make Zeres here in this world, and the Kosh Baruch Hu does exactly what you say. Ata Kecha Nago Or, again back to Eov, Perichov Beis, Dorsha Ya'afel, He Arta Betzila Secha. A generation that was in the dark, you enlightened. A generation that was low, you raised them. A nation that was low, sach from the word hishtachava. A nation that was low, you raised them with your tila. Yemalait inaki dorshalo hayanaki malatato betzila secha. A nation that was not clean of guilt, but you save them with your tefillah. V'nimla b'bor kapecha milatato b'maasei yadecha havrurim am Rav Yochanan kol yomav sh'oso tzedek hayim mitzar mikra zeh. Period. Okay, so basically a very nice thank you letter from Sanhedrin for the rain that was provided on account of the tefillah of Choni Amado. Next. Am Rav Yochanan kol yomav sh'oso tzedek hayim mitzar mikra zeh sh'amalos. We were like dreamers. Okay. From this pasuk in Tehillim, we're pretty familiar with. We say it on Shabbos before benching. We have a minhag of saying this parak in Tehillim. But basically, you understand that the pasuk is really difficult to understand in context. David HaMelech is writing this pasuk, right? We're returning to Tzion. Oh, David HaMelech didn't even build the first Beis HaMikdash. Okay, but anyway, okay, let's understand that the pasuk was written b'derech nevuah, and that we return. So what's the return? So we Vayis Rishon was destroyed, and 70 years later we returned. And hayinu kecholmen, and those 70 years in Galus was like a bad dream. It was like right. It was like a dream. Amar mi'ika denayim shivim shenim b'chalma, and Choni Amago, whenever he read that pasuk, says, you know, it's strange. A 70-year dream? Like, who has a 70-year dream? Okay. I think we all know where we're going right now with this story, huh?
So this is in reference to this.
So this is, right. This is in reference to a parak in Tehillim that's a nevuah for the future of the 70-year galus between Vayis Rishon and Vayis Sheni. As I understand, Vayis Choni Amado is living during Vayis Sheni. Okay. So, so he sees a person planting a boxer tree. How many years is it going to take for this boxer to start producing fruit? It takes 70 years. And what? And you're going to live 70 years? So he says, look, when I came into this world, so there was a boxer tree giving fruit. What does that mean? So obviously my father's planted it for me. I in turn are going to be planting it for my children. You're right. I'm not going to benefit from it. This is for future generations. This is called long-term planning. Yasif kakarich rifta, asa le sheinasa. Chon Yamaga sits down to eat bread, and then he falls into a deep sleep. Nim ahadale mishunese. And as Rashi explains, basically what happened was a rock cleft developed around him. To the point where ichse me'ene, where he's no longer viewable. So basically he falls asleep, and now he's hidden from view. V'nim shiv mishnin, and he sleeps for 70 years. Ki kam chazila ugavet avakam alake minayhu. And now as he wakes up, so what does he see? He sees what he thinks is the same boxer tree, and the person's picking the fruit. Amalei atu deshar kalpe, you planted this tree. Amalei bar berei ana. What do you mean? I know. I didn't plant this tree. My grandfather planted this tree. I'm just simply picking the fruit of the tree that was planted by my grandfather. Amalei shmamina denai mishiv mishnin. At this point, he realized, oh no, I just slept for 70 years. Haul chamrei diisyadale ramche ramche. And the Gemara says that he had a donkey that gave birth two generations later. Now, basically, Rashi explains that it takes for a donkey to produce two generations later, that's 70 years. So, in other words, it's basically another piece of evidence that he slept for 70 years. Also, Lebeisei Amar Luhu Brei Dechoni Amagol Mikayim. So he goes back home, and now he understands at this point in time that this is 70 years later. So he asks, are there any children of Chon Yamago in this house? Amalei Brei Leisa Bar Brei Isa. So he says, no, we're not the next generation. We're already two generations later. The grandchildren of Chon Yamago. Amalei Ani Chon Yamago. So he tries to explain to his grandchildren that he's Chon Yamago. Lo him nuhu. They didn't believe him. Agla Beis HaMedrash, Shamin L'Rabban D'Kamrei. Now he goes to the Beis Medrash, this next move, and he hears a discussion in the Beis Medrash. You hear Shmaitin Kibishnei Chon Yamago. You know, we have such clarity on the Torah today, it reminds us of what we once heard, that when Chon Yamago used to teach Torah, it was with absolute clarity, and that's the kind of clarity that we have over the Torah that we're learning here today. Yechehava Ala Beis Medrash, Kokushi Dehava L'Rabban, Ava Mefarik Lehu. When he would go to the Beis Medrash, they would ask him all questions, and he would answer with clarity. Amalu ananihu. And he says to them, gentlemen, I'm Chon Yamago, the one that you're talking about right now. Lohim nuhu. And once again, they didn't believe him. Lo abdele yikara kidimibayele. And they thought he was a kook, and they didn't give him the proper respect that he deserved. Chalosh daite. He slips into a depression. By Rachamei Umis. He asks Akarish Baruch Hu, please terminate my life, and he does so. Amar Rav Haina Damri Inshe. Rav says one of the most important things that we can learn from the story is O Chavrusa, O Misusa. Either you have friends in this world, or death. It's one or the other. Meaning being alone in this world is unbelievably depressing. O Chavrusa, O Misusa. Okay, so that is another story regarding Chon Yamago, and we are not done. What? Who? What? Correct. Absolutely correct. Meaning the segue of the story, the opening of the story, obviously foreshadows that he's going to sleep for 70 years because he was wondering, like, how can that be? Correct. But okay. Yes, Danny.
He just asked for another brother to stop. He was alive, and he just asked for
that to stop. Right. Yes, correct. Thank you. Abba Chokia was the grandson of Chon Yamago. The Chimisarach Amal Mishra Hava Mishadri Abba Lagabe. So now the world needed rain, and so they turned to the grandson. Okay, and so basically, look, you got the genetics. You know, you were raised in the house. So, nu, uvai rachim edasim mitra. So, we want you to ask the Kosh Baruch Hu for rain.
Okay, so at one point in time, so in other words, basically the general statement of, you know, they usually go to the grandson. This Bar Chilkiah. I'm sorry. Chilkiah. So the grandson. So good. So just establishing the fact that they normally go to him. At one occasion they sent a pair of Chachamim to him. So they first go to his house, he wasn't there. They went out to the field. And they found him in the field. And what was he doing? He was doing yard work, field work. He was with the hoe when he was hoeing the field. Now keep in mind, every detail in the story is first going to be, we'll first go over the actual story itself, and then later we're going to explain every detail in the story. So follow every detail. So Yavei Shlama v'lo azbalei apeh. So first of all, they go over with a warm hello, how are you? And he looks back at them, and he doesn't give them much. Not a smile, not a greeting. He doesn't do anything of the sort. Lo azbra lehu apye betanye. And now as he was ready to go home, so he takes the ward and he takes the hoe and he puts it on one shoulder. And the gilma bechat katfe. And the coat he puts on the other shoulder. Kula orchalo sain misane. As he was walking home, he did not wear his shoes, but kimate lamaya sain misane. But as he had to walk through a puddle of water in order to get home, or a river, so he put on his shoes. Kimate lehizmidihige dalina lamane. As he's passing over thorns, so he raises his coat, his cloak. Remember, back then, it wasn't pants much, it was just a long tunic. So he raises the tunic so that the tunic does not get ripped. When he gets to the city, when he gets home to his home, so his wife comes out to greet him, and his wife is dressed up in order to greet him. Now, as they're walking into the house, so the order of progression is, first his wife walks into the house, the other aisle Ihu, then Chilkiah, grandson of Chon Yamagu, walks into the house, the other aisle Rabbanan, and then the rabbis walk in afterwards. Yasu v'karach Rifta, V'lo amalu the rabbanan sukruchu. He breaks bread. He does not invite the rabbis to join him in the meal. Palagrifta liyanuke. He now divides the bread amongst his family. Likashisha chada. For his older children, he gives one loaf. And lezutra trey. And to his younger children, he gives two. Amalalu devasa yadena de rabbanan mishum mitra kaase. He says to his wife, I know why the Chachamim are here. They want us to ask for rain. The two of us, right, me and the Rebbetzin, are going to go up to the rooftop, and we're going to ask. So, v'nibay rachme, efshad demarat, ha'kosh baruch hu v'yaseh mitra. And we're going to ask ha'kosh baruch hu for rain to come down. V'lo nifzik tibusa l'nifshin. And we'll do it not in front of the rabbis, so that they won't know that we're asking for rain. And that way, we won't get credit. We don't want the credit. They go up to the roof, and each one takes their corresponding corners. If this sounds familiar, Yitzchak and Rivka, when they were praying for the child, so each takes their respective corner. Now, the clouds start forming by whose corner? Her corner, the Rabbitson's corner. Now they come down from the roof and they say to the rabbis, okay, knew why you're here. Even though they already told us earlier they knew why they were there. But we were sent by the Chachamim to ask you for the rain, to pray on behalf of rain. So he says, well, thank God, I got great news for you. You don't even need us. I think it's going to rain. So the Chachamim say to Chilkiah, grandson of Chon Yamago, come on, the charade is over. We know it's on account of you. Okay, but do me a favor now. We saw everything. Could you help us understand? And now we're going to go through every detail in the story. And we're going to explain every detail.
So my time is Yavim Amar Shlomo Lo Azvel Amar Ape. So number one, when we first came out to greet you, you didn't say Shlomo Lechem to us. You want to explain that to us? Amalei Shchir Yom Hava Amin Alei Ifter. So he says, look, I get paid by the hour. I'm a Shchir Yom. And so therefore, for me to stop working, say Shalom Aleichem to you, and indulge in the social formalities of, hi, what's going on, what's up, I'm working right now, I'm employed, I get paid, I did not want to stop working. Okay. My time, Dara Marchivi Echad Katfei, the Glima Echad Katfei. Why is it that you put the wood and the shovel on one shoulder, and the coat on the other shovel? Amalu Tal She'ula Isa, the talus was borrowed, La'achishala Hakelo Shalit. And I borrowed it only to wear, but not so that it can help me shoulder the hoe and the wood. My tamakula orchi kilo saimar misane bechimat lamaya saim misane. How can we only wear your shoes when you were going through the water? So amar lehu kula orcha chazina b'maya lo techazina. Well, the reason why is because when I step my foot down on the ground, I can see where I'm walking, as opposed to when I'm in the water, I can't see where I'm stepping. My tamikimat amar lehizme dehigi do anila mane. When you went through the thorns, you lifted up your cloak. So amaluhu zem alaruka zem alaruka. Well, if my skin gets scratched, that's going to heal. But if my clothes gets torn, it doesn't heal. My kami kimata marla masa nafti devasar demarki mekshiti. How come your wife came out dressed so nicely to greet you? Amaluhu kadesh lo etin einai beisha acheres. So that I do not get distracted and look at other women. My kama aila hi bereisha bahada aila mar abasra. The Hadar Island Anan. Why, when we walked into your house, was it first your wife, then you, then us? Amlu Mishum Dolo Bidikitu Li. I didn't know who you were. Rashi over here, an extraordinary Rashi. Rashi over here writes, I didn't know who you were. In Cherim Impritzim, I'm reading Rashi. The Amar Mar. Rashi quotes Maseches Derech Eretz, Ko Adam Yubeinecha Kelistin. You should be suspicious of strangers. Now, I know we have another rule of Dan L'Kavschus, but in other words, where the Mishnah over here, the Brice over here, the Rashi is quoting, talking about strangers, be suspicious of a stranger. And so therefore, I didn't know who you were. I'm certainly not going to have you walk in my house without me being there. Okay. My time ki krich marista lo amalan aita kruchu. How come he didn't invite to eat with you? The Gemara says the answer is very simple. Mishim delo nifshirifte v'amin alach ichzebu rabban tivusa bechina. I know I didn't have enough bread for you. So I'm not going to, again, I'm not going to work with that, with the social graces of, hey, why don't you come join me and eat? And we all know that there's not enough food for you. So I was just honest from the front. I didn't have enough for you. My tummy amar liyinuka kashisha chada rifta ulezutri trey. How come to your younger children you gave one loaf, to your older children you gave one loaf of bread, to your younger you gave two? Amalu haikai devesa v'hai yasa bebe kenishta. My younger children are still learning in Beis Medrash, and they don't have anything to eat the whole day, and so they need more nourishment. My time of kadam siluk anane mehach zavisa to have a time of debrasayu. Okay, we know you went up to the roof. You and your wife davened, and we also know that the clouds came in the direction of your wife. Why was that the case? The marla anane diday mishum deitzis hashchita bevesa v'yavdu rifta le'aniyei. Look, the two of us both give tzedakah. I give money, she gives food. Her tzedakah is better. Because they, in other words, what they get in their hands, they can enjoy right away. Ramadan. Ha'inami hanu ber yuna dehave b'shivvusan ana b'irachamid al-musu v'hi b'irachamid al-idhiu b'tiyufta. And we had thugs living in our community. I ask Akash Baruch Hu that they die. She asked that they be chosen b'tshuva, the ahadra. And they were chosen b'tshuva. This sounds familiar. Rav Meir and Brewery, very good. Rav Meir and Brewery that we learned back in we learned in Brachos, right? Same basic scenario. He asked that they die, and she asked that they be chosen b'tshuva, and the Gemara says, and she was right. So we'll stop here.